don't say.
On cornerofthegalaxy.com. Welcome to Corner of the Galaxy on cornerofthegalaxy.com. I'm Josh Gessman, and on today's show, I'm going to be going back over the LA Galaxy's 1-1 draw with Sporting Kansas City. We'll ask if we're happy enough with the outcome, and can a team both play poorly and put in a good performance at the same time? We're going to find out. Then I'll get you updated on LA Galaxy news. We'll talk MLS Player of the Month, LA Galaxy 2, and of course, injury updates. Robbie Keane information coming out. And before all of that, and final thing we're going to get to is looking at the LA Galaxy versus New England on Mother's Day on Sunday, 12:30 p.m. game. We've got a bunch to talk about, so don't go anywhere. You're listening to Corner of the Galaxy on cornerofthegalaxy.com. You're listening to Corner of the Galaxy on cornerofthegalaxy.com. Now here's your host, Josh Gessman.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Corner of the Galaxy on cornerofthegalaxy.com. Josh Gessman with you. Happy to be here. Every other co-host was busy, which means every other co-host has a life besides me, which is disappointing for me, I guess, a little bit. The LA Galaxy get a 1-1 draw in Sporting Kansas City. We did our live pregame show just before that game kicked off last Sunday. Had a lot to talk about, got some phone calls from you. Of course, we'll be asking for your phone calls again tonight. That coming up in just a little bit. But before we even get any further, I wanted to talk about Sporting Kansas City. I wanted to talk about it with somebody who was there. So please welcome back to the show, the man who was on the pregame show with me, Mr. Kevin Baxter from the LA Times. Kevin, how's it going?
All right, thanks for having me on Cinco de Mayo.
Yeah, on Cinco de Mayo, that's right. Kevin is covering a live boxing event, and they are having Cinco de Mayo festivities there. So if you hear any of the wonderful mariachi music in the background, that's what that is. Kevin, maybe not so much mariachi music in Sporting Kansas City. How was that for a horrible segue?
The Galaxy were just completely dominating that game. I know you watched it and followed it closely. Outshot 17-4. They didn't even have a shot for the first 35 minutes of any kind. Possession 2-1 in favor of Kansas City. The Galaxy, I thought, were really, really lucky to get out of there with a draw.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree with you at all. I think that is really the ultimate is, hey, you know, when you look at teams and whether or not they're going to be good teams, Kevin, I always felt like the measure of a good team is being able to go on the road, not play your best game, and get out of there with points. And in this particular case, you get the LA Galaxy going down to 10 men in the second half, thanks to two very quick yellow cards from Ashley Cole, which I thought was quite honestly amazing and super entertaining to see Ashley Cole have that happen to him.
Yeah, I completely forgot about that, but I do remember the players not so much talking about the 10 men, but just the way they played. Everyone we talked to, you know, Mike McGee, AJ De La Garza, Brian Rowe, they were all saying, you know, look, we didn't play a good game at all. We, you know, got our butts handed to us pretty much, but we got a point. We're going to take that. And they seem to believe that they would have been happy with a point even if they played a great game. They think Kansas City is a very tough place to play, and it's a place they haven't won since 2007, so they're right. Yeah, you know, a good team, what happens is they win games they're supposed to lose, and they draw games and they're supposed to get when they get blown out, and that's exactly what the Galaxy has done. You know, for all the injury problems and instability and suspensions and everything else, the Galaxy, the only game they lost was that goal in the 95th minute in Colorado, and they should have never been on the field in the 95th minute. This team could very well probably should be undefeated at this point.
Yeah, I mean, that's when you go back and you sort of get the overall view of everything. And, you know, at the time, the Colorado loss really hurt. Going back, one, first of all, Colorado seems to be a very good team, at least early in the season. They get Jermaine Jones. They do a great job now. So even without Jermaine Jones, they were winning games. So maybe the Colorado loss isn't so bad in the scheme of things. Going to Colorado, the altitude, everything that happened, and like you said, the late goal. So you look at that. And two,
you know, as you look back over these things, the thing that stands out that we sort of, I think, thought was going to be good has proven out to be good. The LA Galaxy's defense has been very, very solid, and that includes on the road or at home.
Well, and you know where they've been solid is AJ talked a little bit about, yeah, they only gave up one goal, and that was good, but he was disappointed because he said, you know, our goals against average is really low, but we only have one clean sheet,
right,
and we got to fix that. We need some more shutouts. But the other thing, the defense, yeah, they're stopping the other team from mounting attacks, but they're also passing the ball very well out of the back. Von Dom and Ashley Cole, especially, at least in my opinion, I've been impressed with the way that those guys bring the ball out of the back and start a lot of those attacks. I think they've been very effective.
Yeah, they have been. You know, it's interesting. What was your view on the Ashley Cole yellow card? It's sort of the big topic of discussion. Did he deserve both yellows in the time span that he did? Was one of them cheaper than the other? Should he have not gotten two yellows? That's sort of the big question. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think Bruce said it afterwards when he talked about the Rule 18. To be honest with you, I don't even know if there's a Rule 18, but basically his point was there has to be common sense. And you hear that from officials in all sports. Look, you know, a pitcher is not trying to hit a guy with the bases loaded. Don't throw him out of the game.
Right.
You know, use your common sense. And I think that what Bruce is talking about is the first yellow card seemed a little harsh. What do you time we've seen? I don't know. You know, I don't know how the official counts that. But then to turn around, and then I thought the tackle was a little rough, and I think normally that would have been a yellow card. But what Bruce is talking is like you just gave him kind of a cheap yellow card. Maybe you don't have to follow the letter of the law. In the second case, it seemed harsh that he got two yellow cards in the span of 60 seconds. But, you know, we were not able to talk to Ashley Cole. We don't know what motivated him. Did he make that tackle because he was upset with the referee and he said, you want to give me a yellow card? Here's something to give me a yellow card for.
Right.
I don't know what Ashley Cole's motivation was. But, you know, a 1-1 game between two teams that are in a title hunt that are going to be there to the finish, it did seem maybe a little bit harsh. Yeah, I'd go along with that. I think if Ashley had stayed in the game, I don't think you would have heard anything from Kansas City on that.
Yeah, no, it would make a lot of sense. I think you'd have arguments from fans either way. I personally believe that he deserved both of the yellows because he was certainly him going over the first yellow was so obvious that he was in no hurry to take that. And whether or not the referee needed to warn him or not, I'm not necessarily one of those people who believes that, you know, everybody needs to be warned all the time. If you're going to take that long, you have to almost expect that. I had no problems with that. And then the tackle, I wouldn't want my defender not making that tackle, Kevin. But I also understand that it's 100% a yellow card whenever the studs come up and catch somebody in the leg. It's going to happen. And by the way, somebody said to me, Kevin, that it was a 50-50 ball. It was a 50-50 challenge. And I argued that it wasn't a 50-50 challenge. It was 100% zero because Ashley Cole won the ball so cleanly that there was no chance really for any 50-50 action. It was just the follow through that got it. And unfortunately, in MLS, we've seen that's a yellow card.
You know what's really interesting about the time wasting, and I know this goes back a little bit, but maybe some of the listeners will remember when the U.S. was playing Canada and the Women's Olympics a couple of years ago, 4 years ago in London, when Erin McLeod, the Canadian goalkeeper, was called for time wasting because she held on to a goal kick too long.
Yep.
And there was a lot of protest about that. The backstory is the U.S. team knew that she did that she held the ball a long time. And throughout the whole game, Abby Wambach would run by the official and say 7, 8, 9, counting the official, and kept that up throughout the whole game to the point where the official was like, hey, yeah, you know what? She is holding the ball a long time. Without Abby doing that, there is no wasting the time call. There is no free kick. There is no U.S. tying the game and going to overtime. The U.S. loses that game. So whether Kansas City was kind of giving the referee a little bit the business and letting them know that, hey, these Galaxy throw-ins are taking a long time, there could have been some gamesmanship on their side. I didn't hear any of that, but a lot of times that's how that stuff starts.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me. And I think Peter Vermees was on the officials early in that game talking about time wasting and all those things. So I think that was communicated on the broadcast for it. So again, I mean, you know, all that stuff plays in. The LA Galaxy get a point. You know, I've sort of asked Kevin, I don't remember if I've asked it specifically. I teased it at the beginning in the open. And I said, you know, can the LA Galaxy both play poorly, because I do not think they had a very good game, but also play well? Because Bruce sort of gave differing quotes on those two things, which is I thought the guys played well, you know, but it was also I thought the guys, you know, didn't play very good on the day. Could it be both?
Yeah, I think his point was they played a terrible game, but they got a result and they showed character and they didn't wilt when they went a man down. And after, you know, being just totally outplayed in the first half was way worse than the second half as far as the Galaxy is concerned.
Right.
After being outplayed in the first half, they didn't quit. they kept after him. And I think that was kind of his point. Look, we didn't perform well physically, but mentally with character, you know, we hung on and came back. And I think that was kind of his point. And when you look at the Galaxy again, you know, one loss this far into the season, the Vancouver game, they had a man advantage for, what, 64 minutes, 66 minutes, couldn't score. The game here where they were outplayed but still managed to get a point. I don't think we, aside from maybe the game in Houston where they were playing a pretty poor team, and then one of the games at home,
right.
I don't know if the Galaxy has really played a game where you look at it and said, yes, that was really good. You know, they've really put together, and they certainly haven't strung together two or three games in a row like they're going to have to do here soon.
Yeah, yeah, it's going to be, I don't know, it's going to be interesting to see how the Galaxy can continue. Again, it looks like they're going to be without Steven Gerrard a little bit. I'll let you update people on that. That was your reporting from, did you go to training today, or you at least picked up that information?
Yeah, I was told before the last game that Steven Gerrard would likely be out until May 22nd. And then I found out a little bit more this week. And none of this is coming from Bruce Arena or any of the medical staff. So it's all kind of speculation on my part. But one thing that I was taught very early in this job is when you see something and it makes sense to you, you know, a lot of times it's worth your while to sort of run with it, because no coach is going to come out and tell the opposing team, here's my lineup. So you got to kind of figure things out. Here's what I've deduced. It's a groin. Steven Gerrard hasn't practiced fully with the first team this week,
right?
In a week, and it's a groin. And you know, Bruce's policy has always been, if you don't practice, you don't play.
Right.
So it seems a little bit late for him to gear up to get in the game this Sunday. And then if you're talking about a groin, which can linger for all season, if he's not going to play Sunday, he's not going to get on a plane and fly to Philadelphia, I don't think.
Yeah, not midweek.
Two days later.
Yep, absolutely. No, it makes some sense and some deduction. It looks like Robbie Keane possibly could be available, and we'll talk a little bit more about that in the later show. Yeah.
Yeah. I, unless your information is different, what I was going to say about Robbie is I've been told that he'll probably play and he'll probably come off the bench. He may not start. And that's an interesting thing, too, because if Robbie plays, I wonder if he goes to Philadelphia. My guess would be Robbie plays a little bit, just to see how he feels, doesn't go to Philadelphia either, stays here because the turnaround is just too tight. Remember, these two guys are 35 years old, both Gerrard and Robbie Keane. They're 35 years old. They have the kind of injuries, a knee surgery, and then a groin especially,
right,
that tend to linger, that can bother you all season. They don't need him to play consecutive games right now. When they need these guys is next month, when Jesse Zardes and Gio Santos go off to play in Copa America. That's when they're going to really need these guys. So why take a chance on extending their injuries now when you really don't need them until June?
Yeah, it's going to be, you know, it's about managing. This was, I think, Bruce Arena's greatest challenge this year is going to be managing minutes, managing egos, managing playing positions, all that fun stuff. That, you know, managing, what do you know? It's going to be his job this year, just like it is every year. All right, Kevin, well, I'm going to let you go. I appreciate your insight on Kansas City. I'm sure I'll see you out at the game on Sunday. And other than that, have a great one, all right?
And now that I've said that, I'm sure we're going to see Robbie Keane and Steven Gerrard play 90 full minutes, right?
That's
the way it normally works.
You know it's going to happen. All right, thanks, Kevin.
Thanks a lot.
All right, there's Kevin Baxter from the LA Times. At KBaxter11 is who you want to follow on Twitter for all of his updates. I follow him on Twitter. He's one of the best reporters on the LA Galaxy beat. I trust what he says 100% all the time. So if that means something to you as well, follow at KBaxter11 on Twitter. All right. So I want to go back over and get a little bit into this this SKC game, just give you some quick rundowns of what I saw. Basically, starting lineup with Brian Rowe in the back, AJ De La Garza on the right, Daniel Styris, Van Dam in the center on defense, Ashley Cole on the left. You had Husidic and Mike McGee taking in the center of defense there. You had Emmanuel Boateng on the left, Sebastian Legette on the right in the midfield, and Giovanni Dos Santos roving around up top with Jossie Zardes, who was your up top striker. Listen, all the different things that you saw, this was a 4-4-2. Giovanni Dos Santos is allowed to roam and do whatever he wants to do, so sometimes it's 4-4-2. Sometimes it drops a little bit almost into like a 4-4-1-1. There's all sorts of roaming, all sorts of things that can happen there, so you know, that's what you sort of want to look at, and I wouldn't expect a lot of that to change. The highlights of this for me, and really the things that stick out, is the possession. All right, I'm telling you right now on this possession, The LA Galaxy got absolutely worked. Two-thirds of the possession went to Sporting Kansas City, and that wasn't just because, you know, Ashley Cole got double yellow carded in the 70th minute, all right? They were controlling possession beforehand, and a lot of that had to do with the midfield and the midfield pairing of Mike McGee and Baju Husidic. We haven't said it a lot, all right? We haven't said it a lot where you say, hey, you know who we really could have used? We could have used Steven Gerrard. And you know who we could have really used? We could have used Nigel de Jong. Both of those guys would have been very helpful in this game because I think the Sporting Kansas City midfield did a good job of denying the LA Galaxy midfield the ball. A lot of the plays went over or through the midfield. Sebastian Lletget, probably the only player in the midfield who really made that much of a difference. If you look at the one goal LA Galaxy scored, the perfect counterattack, as it's been called, the absolutely beautiful one, it was a clearance off of a set piece that Van Damme headed to Jossie Zardes, and Zardes broke away through the midfield and put off a beautiful pass to Giovanni Dos Santos, and then it was Dos Santos with the absolutely sublime chip. And you know what can Gio chip? What, that's the hashtag that's been going around, and so far Giovanni Dos Santos has shown us that he can chip a lot of things, including the Kansas City keeper. It was a great taken goal. If you even look at Kansas City's goal, that was a beautiful goal by Brad Davis. You know, there's some criticism of Van Damme in this particular play. You know that, hey, Brad Davis is going to go to his left foot. My real criticism goes to Emmanuel Boateng, because he quite honestly should have beat Brad Davis to the ball. There was no anticipation on his part, and that allowed Davis to sort of be able to get in position to manhandle Boateng. Could have been a foul. I don't think you're calling that a foul. I wouldn't have called that a foul if I was anybody. All right. So, you know, Brad Davis with his left foot curls it around Brian Rowe. Brian Rowe looked to be in a good position. Brad Davis just finished. That's what he does. All right. You're certainly, I don't know how you can complain about that goal. The LA Galaxy were outshot 17-4. 17-4 in total shots. Now, here's the only shot that really counts. Sporting Kansas City only got one of those goals on target. One of those shots on target was the goal. That was it, Brad Davis. The LA Galaxy also got one shot on goal, and it was the goal. All right, so both teams really didn't find it, although the LA Galaxy at least found it 25% of the time. You know, Sporting Kansas City was just, quite honestly, they didn't look that dangerous. They looked tired. And if you're somebody who subscribes to the fact that, you know, Sporting KC had a midweek game and that was one of the reasons that they were tired, I can certainly understand that because it makes a lot of sense to me that that could be what it was. All right, I want to go to a phone call that we got. This is on the COG hotline. Remember, after any game, at any time, you can call the COG hotline number at 949-385-2641. That's 949-385-2641. That is the hotline number. That's where you get our voicemail. All right. So if you ever want to do that, you can. And we have Michael from Paramount who wanted to chime in on this latest game.
Hey, Josh. This is Michael. I'm actually calling from Paramount. Just calling after the SKC game. There's many ways to feel about this game. You could be happy. You could be mad. I was a little frustrated watching it. However, with the result, considering we went down a man on the road, you got to take the point. You got to be happy with that. Galaxy did not necessarily play well, I guess you could put it, but they grinded out a result, and you got to be happy with that. Also, really happy seeing Jossie Zardes mature as a player, really developing his game. You know, his first touch is improving. It's not great, maybe not even good still, but it definitely is improving. You can see the improvement. So that's a good thing. It's really nice to see him developing and maturing still as a player. And yeah, that's all I got to say about that. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's always the closeout. It's always the closeout, Michael. You always got to finish it strong, but I appreciate it. That was great. You know, he gets back to the same thing that we talked about before, is can the LA Galaxy play poorly and also play well? Can the LA Galaxy, you know, have an off game and where they get outpossessed, you know, by, you know, two-thirds of the time and still do well? Can the LA Galaxy do any of those things and still have a good game? And if you look at all this, how can you not say that the LA Galaxy played well? I can't imagine that any of you could sit there and say that wasn't a good game. It was an exciting game, even if it was the fact that the LA Galaxy were getting bombarded for most of the game. It was exciting to the point where, you know, you were watching the whole time. There were only a couple standout players for me. I mean, really, you look at the defense. I think everybody on defense, including Ashley Cole, played excellent. Brian Rowe gets my, you know, star of approval, quite honestly, because he did things. And granted, you know, everybody's going to say, you know, he didn't have to make a whole bunch of saves. He had to make three saves. All right. They got three shots on target that didn't go in. All right. Or excuse me, basically they got one. He really didn't have to do much in the save department, but he had to do so much in the crossing department and all the set pieces the LA Galaxy were conceding. And he did well coming off his line. He was confident. I mean, this is what you want from a starting goalkeeper, right? This is what you want. Who's not confident in Brian Rowe right now? Who wants to go back to Dan Kennedy? I don't think anybody's there right now. And I watched Dan Kennedy play 90 minutes for LA Galaxy 2 against Colorado Springs Switchbacks FC, the world's longest name. I watched that game. I don't want Dan Kennedy in goal for the LA Galaxy right now. I want Brian Rowe. And, you know, that kind of sucks for Dan Kennedy. That's twice now that he has sort of been close to getting a starting role and not having a starting role. So, you know, you look at that and you have to say, hey, you know, the LA Galaxy could have very well done, you know, a lot. All right. You look at exactly what you get with Dan Kennedy and you say, he could have been the starter. But again, he gets sort of passed over. He gets passed over again. I don't even know what it's like to be Dan Kennedy. I can't even imagine that. You're in Dallas. You get replaced by a younger talent who does great. You come to the LA Galaxy knowing you're the number one starter. You get hurt with a groin injury, and you're not the number one starter again. I don't know. It's not fair. Sports isn't fair. Sports isn't fair. We all know that. All right. So the LA Galaxy get 1-1 draw in this game. Giovanni Dos Santos, just, you know, one shot, one goal. That's all you need from this game. You take the point. Sporting Kansas City is a tough place to play. It is what it is. That's the bottom line. Bruce Arena, after the games on getting a result in Kansas City, said, and I quote, "I think our guys did a great job, even when going down to 10 men. Some days are going to look like this, but the grind up to get a point here is important. We are pleased with that. I don't think we played well today. We had a lot of issues with this game. It's a point. We are going home. We are not looking back. Not looking back over this game. Again, did a great job, but I don't think we played well today." I think that's probably the name of this episode is, you know, great job, didn't do well. That's really, you know, he talked about Law 18. Basically, he says the common sense law, all right? And that's Bruce Arena calling about the common sense law. AJ De La Garza after the game said, and I quote, "Those are the games that we usually give up late goals, especially being a man down. Everyone on the field was fighting because we wanted that point. We know how crucial it is, especially this early in a place like Kansas City. It's a hard-earned point, harder than well." And again, finally, Brian Rowe after the game, and he says, "These are the ones that we weren't able to grind out and get the result on the road. We showed a lot of character tonight, coming back from a goal down on the road, losing a man in the second half, and closing it out to get a point. That's what you need to take away from this LA Galaxy game." If there's anything else you guys want to talk about, 949-734-4217, you can call into the show. Otherwise, I'm going to move on to LA Galaxy 2 and talk a little bit about the game I watched on Wednesday night as LA Galaxy 2 hosted Colorado Springs Switchbacks FC in the newly renovated StubHub Center Track and Field Stadium. Great, great job by the renovation crew on this one, because you look at this and you can see that this is a big field again. It's basically only about a little bit shorter in length, and the same width as StubHub Center Field, which is a large field. And LA Galaxy 2 plays better on a bigger field. Bottom line, they always have. They're quicker than most of the teams they play against. Colorado Springs Switchbacks FC is a good team. They're not bad at all. All right. So I don't want people to think that, you know, that they're a horrible team for some reason. They're not. All right, Colorado is in 4th place in the Western Conference, and they are only about 5 points behind, but have played 3 less games than the LA Galaxy 2, who lead the Western Conference. So, you know, it was interesting to see. There's things that stuck out in this game. Jack McBean, again, 3 goals. All right, so if you're playing the home game, he has played in 16 games starting in the preseason. He has had 18 goals in that span. All right. He started the night with 15 goals in 15 games since the preseason started. And that's 9 goals now that after the hat trick that he scored, that's 9 goals in the league that he scored because he came in 6. So he now has the overall lead over former LA Galaxy player Chandler Hoffman, a good friend of the show. He now has taken that lead from Chandler Hoffman, who I believe has 7 goals. Chandler Hoffman, I'm sure, will have something to say about that. Playing for... I can't remember who Chandler Hoffman plays for. I'll look it up at some point, and we'll be able to figure it out at halftime. But Chandler Hoffman doing a lot of work. But Jack McBean has been scoring goals. Listen, you can get excited about the goals, which you should be, because that's an important part of a striker, and that's what you want to see. Okay? But I'm here to tell you that I don't think there is anything wrong with Jack McBean and what he's been doing overall in the big scheme of things, all right? So I don't think there's anything wrong with a lot of the off-the-ball stuff that Jack McBean has been doing, all right? And that's another big part to all of this. That's something that you have to understand is super important for the LA Galaxy, is to be able to watch the off-the-ball stuff, to be able to see him move off the ball, to be able to see him combine with different players, to be able to combine with different pairings, everything that's going on. He's running smarter. He's playing smarter. His hold-up play is sublime. It is absolutely wonderful to see. And it's something that I think transfers directly over to the senior team, that hold-up play, that distribution. He's a smaller Alan Gordon, but probably with better feet. And I think if you like that, that's good. But he's very physical. Listen, every USL team seems to have the same idea to guard Jack McBean. And that is that, you know, they're just going to hack him. And he puts up with the abuse, and it doesn't seem to bother him. So Jack McBean with 3 goals. This game a lot closer than it should have been. Talked to Kurt an awful after the game, and Kurt said that basically he was not happy with the way the subs played. Starting in the 71st minute is when Jack McBean scored his 3rd goal, and it was 3-0. He got assists from Ariel Lassiter in the 2nd goal, and assists from Raul Mandiola, who's playing again and looking good for his 3rd goal. The 1st goal was on a penalty kick, so all that stuff was good. But then Colorado Springs comes back and scores 2 goals, 77th minute and 91st minute. They get 2 goals, so it ends up being 3-2. Kurt said he wasn't happy with the way that that his substitutes played, and he said that that's interesting because they did such a good job on the road. The LA Galaxy 2 remain undefeated, 4-0-4, lead the Western Conference in USL. You should get out there and do it. I had the opportunity to talk to Jack McBean after the game, and here's that quick interview, just 2 questions with Jack.
All right, Jack, 3 goals, a hat trick. You've been on quite a run so far to start here. What are you thinking so far in the early USL season?
Yeah, it's been an awesome start for me, goals-wise. I thought today I held the ball really well as well, which is a big part of my game and a part of my game that I take pride in. So all around, I thought, this was a step in the right direction again for me.
Why are you having so much success scoring so many goals early this season?
I've been working really hard, trying to get in the right spots, and teammates have been feeding me. Just trying to be more economical about my runs and be smarter about them instead of just running all over the field. It's been working.
All right, there it is, Jack McBean after the game. Some good words from him. Again, the kid is locked in and on fire. I don't know if that means that the LA Galaxy are ever going to call him up to the senior team this year. It's congested. With Alan Gordon being injured, and I don't know his status for this next game. It hasn't been given out lately about what Alan Gordon is doing or how he's feeling on everything. So we'll be keeping an eye on that and where he's at. But with Alan Gordon, I mean, this is the prime example. Now, the only complication is Jack McBean is on a USL contract. Remember, he was on an LA Galaxy. He was a homegrown player. He's now on a USL contract. So in order to get him up to the senior team, there has to be a loan done. Not that that's hard, just saying that it's a little wrinkle added in there. All right. So something for you to pay attention to if you're wondering why Jack McBean isn't up there, or to watch the mechanics of what happens whenever Jack McBean does get called up. All right. So that's pretty much it. The LA Galaxy 2 did very well on the night. For about 70-75 minutes, played very well. The closing minutes, not so much, but that is what it is, all right? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and take a quick break, all right? Whenever I get back, still have some LA Galaxy team news. Hopefully your phone calls and lots more still to come, all right? You're listening to Corner of the Galaxy on cornerofthegalaxy.com.
So here's to you and I, canary down the mine. That's all this was, a warning sign, a warning sign.
Ready for some more Corner of the Galaxy? Don't forget to head over to the website for all the latest podcasts, news, and more. Visit us online at cornerofthegalaxy.com.
Hey, this is Chris.
This is Eddie.
This is Jason.
And we're from Back Pocket Memory, and you're listening to Corner of the Galaxy.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Corner of the Galaxy on cornerofthegalaxy.com. Josh Guessman with you once again. Still a bunch to talk about in this show. Looking forward to hopefully getting your calls in as well. We'd love it if you guys helped us out on Twitter. Follow us on Twitter at Galaxy Podcast. Of course, go to Corner of the Galaxy, cornerofthegalaxy.com, and go to our live page where you can watch us live all the time. And you can participate in all of these shows right there on YouTube. You can watch the studio. I have the studio puppy in studio with me today, too. My dog is here. So all that fun stuff you can do. Just follow us on Twitter, YouTube, all that good stuff, all right? Still a bunch to get to. I think we should start with some of the current events. Let's do that first, all right? So, of course, you know about our YouTube live stream, and you can go to YouTube and type in Corner of the Galaxy. You can find our channel there. Please subscribe. We'd appreciate it. Of course, all of our podcasts can be found on iTunes. That's the easiest way to find us. I now have complete control over that feed, which means you will get shows almost immediately after they are done. Well, as long as it takes me to write, 300 words and post it to the website and get it up on SoundCloud and all that fun stuff. But yes, almost immediately. Quicker than lightning. Very, very frightening. Me, Galileo. Yeah, I was listening to a little Queen earlier. All right, wanted to tell you about Red Card Events. I've talked to you about them before. They're hosting another event on May 22nd when the LA Galaxy play the San Jose Earthquakes at StubHub Center. Always a good rivalry match. This game, they're working with an awesome charitable organization called Soccer Without Borders, who are affiliated with the local Taya Foundation, which is located in Santa Ana, and they're donating. Red Card Events is donating 30 tickets in order for these children who are refugees to come to Galaxy Game for the first time. First time even watching a soccer game, anything like that. They're also going to play soccer on the practice fields before the game, and there will be a few other soccer clubs attending as well. These people at Red Card Events usually get, 150, 200, 300 people to these games. This is a great job. If you have a group of people and you want to get there, your ticket prices start around $35 and up. Again, this is for the Sunday, May 22nd game at 4 p.m. when the LA Galaxy take on the San Jose Earthquakes. 2-hour pregame mini-style soccer skills and tournament. You get a private tailgate and, of course, game ticket on the sideline. To purchase tickets, please go to redcardevents.com. And, of course, talk to my good friend Lori over there, and she will get you all set up. All right, there's Red Card Events. I also wanted to tell you real quickly about us at Corner of the Galaxy. We have these wonderful Corner of the Galaxy magnets. Oh, my, aren't those pretty? That's right. Corner of the Galaxy magnets can be found on the Corner of the Galaxy website, on our shop there. Go there. $2.25 gets you a magnet. You help support the show. You get something that says Corner of the Galaxy on it. We have some other stuff in the works. So if you support this, then we can do that. We did stickers. Now we're on to magnets. You guys are helping me out. You're supporting the show. And therefore, I can give you more stuff. So please, please help us out there. Go to cornerofthegalaxy.com/shop. All right. Let's see. What other fun and interesting stuff do we have? You know, I wanted to get to an email that we got. This is always good. Emails are always good. And this is Bobby from Huntington Beach. Bobby listened to the last show with Jared and I making a bet about Yella Van Dam and whether or not he was going to be able to get through the first game. Remember, Yella Van Dam is on yellow card watch. He's got four yellow cards, and if he gets another one, he's going to be suspended. All right. So in order to make sure that didn't happen, of course, I said that he would never make it one game. I think Ashley Cole getting two yellows and a red card was really the catalyst for Yella Van Dam not getting a yellow card in this, because it seemed like a perfect game for him to get a yellow card. So our bet was Jared had to take a picture in boat shoes if he lost. And if I lost, then I would have to have my fiance record something saying how great Jared is. But she likes him best anyway, so that won't be very hard. So anyway, so saying all that, Bobby from Huntington writes in and he goes, a few things I saw about this game, referring to the Sporting Kansas City game. First things first, though, Van Dam didn't get a yellow, so both Pinky and the Brain will be back for the Rebs game. Pinky and the Brain, of course, is Nigel DeJong and Yellow Van Dam. All right, so we'll be back for the Rebs game next Sunday. Also, in response to the wager made in the Thursday podcast, I believe Josh has lost, but because he was too chicken to play Price is Right rules, how about this punishment? If Van Dam doesn't get a yellow card in the game against the Rebs, both Jared and Josh will have to do their respective punishments. I think we could probably work that out. Second, can you please give me a better explanation on the time-wasting foul and why the Galaxy got two yellow cards? I could see the first Cole yellow. However, I was astonished at the second yellow. Listen, I think we've talked this enough. The first yellow is easy because of the time-wasting, right? That's easy. He kicks the ball against the boards. He wastes time. He's lollygagging. He lollygags down to first base. You lollygag in the infield. You know what you guys are? You're a bunch of lollygaggers. Bull Durham's one of my favorite movies. Ashley Cole earned that first yellow card, absolutely. The second one's a clean... Listen, everybody says, it's the clean tackle. It is a clean tackle. I don't know what to tell you. It's a clean tackle. It's still a yellow card. So you can't... It's about the follow-through. Now, granted, let's start enforcing the follow-through rule on shots on goal. If we do that, then we will have created the circle, because I don't know if you've ever noticed, but whenever a guy shoots the ball on goal and then gets completely taken out, it's never a foul. It's like, oh, well, the ball was shot. It's okay. Well, no. That affects. If you see a guy coming into a challenge and you know he's going to get there late, and you know you're going to have to get out of the way, or you're going to have to do something, otherwise you're going to get killed, but you're already in your shooting motion, that affects the shot. I'd like to see it called. So anyway, so that's the thing there for me, Bobby. And he goes, finally, not even I as a Galaxy fan, nor should anyone else be mad about Brad Davis's goal. I consider it a pretty great, and that goal against Galaxy on the road has been absolutely magnificent. Both the Papa and Davis goals should be possible goal of the week shouts as well. Shaka bra, Bobby from Huntington Beach. HB, Bobby, one of my favorite places. Very nice. Thanks for writing in, Bobby. If you want to write into Corner of the Galaxy, you can. cornerofthegalaxy@gmail.com. That's easy enough. Or go to the Corner of the Galaxy website, contact us, and you'll find a form there where you can fill that out if you want to do that. All right? So lots of good stuff from there. I appreciate everybody calling in, everybody writing us emails. All that stuff is good. LA Galaxy team news. We already talked about Yella Van Dam on yellow card warning. He has made it through one of five games. He has to go five games without a yellow card in order to get his four yellow cards reduced to three yellow cards. Doesn't mean like he suddenly gets a start at zero again, which would be an actual good behavior incentive. So I'm all for Yella Van Dam going ahead and, you know what, getting the yellow card in this New England game. One, so that way I won't lose to Jared, because, see, I don't think it's fair that I get one game and then, you know, Jared, it should have been, there was a range. Jared gets all the games, and that doesn't make sense to me. So yeah, so absolutely, that's going to be something everybody still needs to keep an eye on, because that's still going to happen. Little LA Galaxy 2 news. Two things. One thing that happened in the LA Galaxy 2 game was Bradford Jamison went down with what looked like, and I am not a medical professional, so don't yell at me, what looked like a concussion. All right, there was some contact. It looks like he bumped heads with somebody. He was fine for about 60 seconds. He even made a challenge in the corner on a play that was in the LA Galaxy's defensive side. The LA Galaxy ended up, I think, losing that particular challenge. Colorado got the ball back in, and then behind the play, you see Bradford Jamison go down, and he almost had to be stretchered off. He did get to go off, walk off the field under his own power, but it looked like another head injury and another possible concussion. I don't remember how many this is. There's been multiples. This could be number three, if I'm counting correctly, and I don't want to misreport the news, because concussions are very serious, and I take them very seriously. I am hearing that it's on the, you know, minor side of things and not so much on the major side of things. So if you're looking on the whole spectrum, you know, I think Taylor Twellman says it first, there's no such thing as a minor concussion, which I understand. But it seems right now that everything is more on the minor side. He's already going through the concussion protocol. So, you know, it looks like that is going. That's what I'm hearing, is at least. So I want you guys to understand what Bradford Jameson is going through. And my heart breaks for this kid, because it's one thing if you decide you don't want to play anymore, right? If you, as a player, you know, regardless of how good you are and whatever sport you played and whatever you love to do, imagine that you love to do something and you're good at it. In fact, you're like one of the best. You're in the upper percentile of people who are good at this particular thing. It's one thing if you decide to say one day, hey, you know what? I'm done. I don't want to do it anymore. I'm tired of it. Or I'm just not as good as I used to be, or I don't have the talent, or any of those things. That's a you decision. You get to make it. But whenever you get into these injury decisions where it's like, hey, I've had too many concussions, I can't play anymore, or it's not right for me to play anymore. I blew up my knee so many times, I can't run anymore. When you do that, that's when my heart breaks for people, and especially a young kid like Bradford Jameson IV, who is great. I did get to talk to him real briefly after the game. I just asked him how he was feeling, and he said he was hanging in there, and you could tell that, you know, it was affecting him a little bit. He was walking on his own, walking out with Jack McBean as I got ready to do that interview with Jack real quick. So shook his hand, told him to hang in there, and hopefully we'll see Bradford Jameson back on the field sooner rather than later. But if you notice his absence from playing, which I imagine you will for a little while again, this is the reason, and it was a scary moment, and it's not fun at all, and I don't like it, and I don't think any LA Galaxy fan likes it. So best wishes out there to Mr. Bradford Jameson IV, one of my favorite people. Please get better soon, buddy. Take it easy. Be safe, and I'm sure the LA Galaxy will welcome you back whenever you get better, or whatever you decide to do, buddy. All right, so onward now from that. That was the first LA Galaxy 2 talk. The second LA Galaxy 2 talk is that on Saturday, so the LA Galaxy senior team will play on Sunday at 12:30, but Saturday, StubHub Track and Field Center, 7:30 p.m., the LA Galaxy will host Sacramento Republic FC, all right? So Sacramento Republic FC looks like they're about in the middle. They're actually in the bottom two-thirds of the standings right now. They played 6 games. They've won 2. They've lost 3. Their total points on the whole season is 7. The LA Galaxy 2 was 16. This is a game the LA Galaxy 2 should win. However, this is a rivalry game as well, or at least it was whenever Preki was there. Preki left. It's been a little tamer in that particular way here ever since. So, you know, just something to sort of keep an eye on there. If you want to get to that game, I would suggest you do it. The last game had, let's see if I have, 1,724 people there. A great crowd for a Wednesday night. I would imagine that Saturday there should be more people there. So please get out there, lagalaxy.com /2 for all your LA Galaxy 2 information. The number 2, by the way, or you can just click LA Galaxy 2, however you want to do it. You're the master of your own universe here. The 4th annual LA Galaxy 5K and Cosmo Family Fun Run is set for Sunday, June 5th. Remember, I'm going. You should go. First 750 to register, get a t-shirt, $40 per person pre-register. That closes May 27th, so the end of this month. You still have time. If you're just walking up, it's $50 per person. The first 750 people to finish get a medal. If you finish, you should probably get a medal. I wouldn't be surprised, all right? Obviously, the big deal here is that whenever you get to finish, just whenever you're about ready to toss cookies there at the end of your run, you'll be up on the jumbo screen. So that's what you want, right there at the end. The race, of course, will go throughout StubHub Center, and it ends inside the stadium with the finish line shown on Galaxy TV. Appearance from LA Galaxy players and LA Galaxy alumni as well. I'm sure Chris Klein will run this again in like 17 minutes just to annoy everybody, or like 16 minutes. 3 miles, 3.1 miles. Chris Klein, phew, gone. All right, all proceeds, of course, benefit the LA Galaxy Foundation. Giovanni Dos Santos finishes second in voting for MLS Player of the Month. Second in vote. He lost to Fernando Audi from the Portland Timbers, who won with 33.56% of the vote. LA Galaxy forward Giovanni Dos Santos with 23.15% of the vote. So close, yet so far. Gio had the better run in April. I don't think there's much argument for that. You know, however writers see it, however they want to do it, I'm completely and totally biased whenever it comes. And I got to see Giovanni Dos Santos play all those games, and I watched all those games. I didn't get to see all the Portland games. I saw Portland when they played the LA Galaxy, and it was 1-1, and, you know, he had a good goal. So that's great. But at the same time, he didn't you know, play out of this world in that particular game. Maybe he had other games I didn't see. Other people also mentioned was San Jose Earthquakes, Chris Wondolowski, Toronto FC forward Sebastian Giovinco, get used to that, and Colorado Rapids midfielder Jermaine Jones. All of those were also in there. We talked about Bruce Arena not playing his cards on Robbie Keane. He's not saying whether or not Robbie Keane will be playing come Sunday. All right, we have to see him through the week of training and see if he's positioned to play a role on Sunday, said Galaxy head coach Bruce Arena. And of course, that was by LA Galaxy insider Adam Serrano. Go to lagalaxy.com/insider to get all that information on the LA Galaxy. The LA Galaxy schedule coming up, of course, you have the Sunday game versus New England, Wednesday midweek. So this is Sunday, Wednesday, Sunday for the LA Galaxy midweek, traveling all the way to Philadelphia. If you want to talk about a game the LA Galaxy should probably lose, and we'll talk about this game on Monday, it's probably the game against the Philadelphia Union, who are playing very well in the Eastern Conference, who have sort of been one of the surprises along with Colorado. And they get the LA Galaxy traveling all the way across the country on Wednesday. All right, so that's something that you should keep an eye on for that game. And then, of course, Sunday, May 22nd, 2016, here's another game for you. The LA Galaxy will host the San Jose Earthquakes. We talked about that through Red Card Events. All of that stuff was there. So that game's coming up Saturday, May 28th, traveling away to Montreal, one of the longest road trips in professional sports. That's what you want to look for on that one. Again, another game that possibly the LA Galaxy could lose. This is some rapid-fire things happening here, so pay attention to it. Sporting Kansas City being hosted at home on Thursday, June 2nd, Saturday, June 18th. It is away to BMO Field to play on the newly renovated and opening up this weekend BMO Field. Should be a fun game, probably a sellout game in Toronto. Oh, man, that's going to be a fun game to watch. I really wish I could go up there for that game. That's not going to happen for me. Wednesday, June 22nd, a home game against the Colorado Rapids. That'll be a good rematch. Jermaine Jones will probably be playing in that, so that'll be fun. And then Saturday, June 25th, the San Jose Earthquakes again. And Saturday, June 25th, last game against San Jose Earthquakes. Oh, wait, that's it. All three games, San Jose, done. Cali Classico, done by June 25th. Gotta love the scheduling. Gotta love it. MLS standings as they go right now on a Thursday night. The Colorado Rapids sit in first place in the Western Conference with 17 points, having played 9 games. Real Salt Lake, 17 points, 8 games. FC Dallas, 17 points, 10 games. LA Galaxy, 15 points, 8 games. So not too bad. 1.88 just behind the 1.89 of Colorado Rapids. Real Salt Lake, 2.13 points per game. RSL sort of leading in the points per game in the Western Conference. The San Jose Earthquakes tied with the LA Galaxy in fifth place, having played on 15 points with 9 games played. And Sporting Kansas City wraps out the playoff-bound teams, if everything were to end right now, with 14 points, 10 games played. Portland, Vancouver, Seattle, and Houston round out 7, 8, 9, and 10. Portland just underneath the little thin red line there for the playoffs. And if we look at the Supporters Shield standings, they basically mimic the Western Conference standings all the way until fifth place. Colorado, Real Salt Lake, FC Dallas, and LA Galaxy. All right, injuries. We talked about Steven Gerrard. He is not trained, will likely miss the next two games, as Kevin Baxter said. And again, Kevin is using some deduction to guess that out correctly. If you're Bruce Arena, do you send Steven Gerrard out to play against Philadelphia? I don't do it. I don't do it. It's not me. I wouldn't do it. Of course, you have Alan Gordon, his status is sort of unknown. But other than that, looking very good. Robbie Keane, full training, possibly plays this week. Again, possibly comes off the bench. That'll be interesting to see who he comes in for, how that plays out. So Robbie Keane coming out, whether he travels to Philadelphia, that's a question. Sebastian Legette with the groin, he seems fine. He played very well in the last game against Sporting Kansas City. You had Robbie Rogers, who is now fine. Expect him to start in the place of Ashley Cole, who's going to be suspended for this game because of his red card, his yellow, yellow, red. Jose Villarreal getting time with LA Galaxy 2, looking fine. No problems for Jose Villarreal. Real Mandiola looking great. Got an assist, of course, to Jack McBean in the LA Galaxy 2 game. Leonardo talked to him after the LA Galaxy 2 game, in which he played 90 minutes. Played full 90 minutes. Looked very good. Obviously, you'd expect him to look good against USL talent. Leonardo said he's feeling good, feeling fine, looking forward to playing, so he's ready. Dan Kennedy, of course, fully back in training and played 90 minutes for LA Galaxy 2. Gave up a soft goal. I didn't like that. Again, I think my thoughts on Dan Kennedy are well known. Nobody is going to freak out or figure that one out, all right? All right. Somebody asked on our video chat is why hasn't Sebastian Legette received a call up to the national team yet? And I can tell you that I have no idea. How about that? I have no idea. I think you should at least get a chance, but I can't. I used to be able to tell what, you know, Bob Bradley or who Bob Bradley was going to pick from the LA Galaxy, and I used to be able to sort of figure this out, but, you know, Jossie Zardes seems to be playing, and he's the guy who's going to be going, and Sebastian Legette, you know, I think if Sebastian Legette got on a goal-scoring streak, if he did something amazing that sort of forced Jurgen Klinsmann to pay attention, I think that you could totally see that. I think you could understand that, you know, that might force Klinsmann's hands, but I'm not so sure that would even force Klinsmann's hands. I don't know what Jurgen Klinsmann wants. You know, I thought Robbie Rogers should have been called up a while ago. That never happened. I thought that, you know, I thought that Sebastian Legette should have gotten called up. You know, I like Jossie Zardes there. That's fun. No problems there. It's one of those things. I can't tell you. All right, let's get on to the LA Galaxy versus the New England Revolution. This game is Sunday, May 8th, 2016, 12:30 p.m. kickoff time. It's a brunch game. That's right. Get there early. Get your mimosas out. Tailgate. Have the bacon. Have the breakfast burritos. However you want to party at StubHub Center for your brunch. That's how you need to do it. 12:30 p.m. kickoff time. This game is broadcast live on ESPN. That's something you want to watch if you are not going to be at this game. Which, why wouldn't you be at this game? Oh, because it's Mother's Day. Drag your mom along. Tell her it's going to be great. The LA Galaxy are hosting a brunch for mothers ahead of time. You can go to lagalaxy.com for more information on that if that's something that interests you. Let's see. New England is coming off of a 2-2 draw with Orlando City. This was a game that had saw New England, you know, sort of give up at home, you know, two okay goals, nothing outstanding. Diego Fagundes scored in the 7th minute, and then Orlando City's tied it in the 30th minute. Then Juan Aguadillo seemingly put the New England Revolution ahead in the 71st minute, only, of course, to have the 90th minute come about and Carlos Rivas for Orlando City tied it all up. The previous meetings for the LA Galaxy and New England Revolution, the last time they played on May 31st, 2015, that was their one and only meeting in 2015. It was New England 2 and LA 2, and that game was played in New England. The last time they played at StubHub Center was December 7th. What does that remind me of? Oh, that's right. That was MLS Cup. The LA Galaxy, of course, won that game 2-1. Over the New England Revolution. And then you have to go back to the other game in 2014 where LA beat New England at home 5-1. And then in 2013, it was 5-0 on the side of New England. We remember that game. Do you remember throwing things at the television during that game, 2013? I always love looking back at some of these games. I can actually remember them. And then March 31st, when New England came in and beat the LA Galaxy 3-1 at home. Something that doesn't happen very often. That was all the way back in 2012, March 31st, 2012, when the LA Galaxy lost 3-1 to New England. Your season-leading goal scorers for each team. Jossie Zardes has 4 goals. Giovanni Dos Santos streaming in there with 4 goals. Mike McGee with 3 and Robbie Keane with 2. Diego Fagundes has 3 goals for the New England Revolution. And a bunch of guys have 1 goal, including Juan Aguadillo, Lee Wynn, Teal Bunbury, Kellen Rowe, and a whole bunch of other guys. Charlie Davies actually included in there as well. So a whole bunch of guys still have a goal there for New England. New England struggling a little bit, actually struggling a lot to sort of find form, find who they are, to play well. They've been giving up goals. It's interesting to sort of see they've lost. New England's only lost twice. I don't want to say that that's, you know, a big deal. The games played, they've played 10, but they haven't, you know, they haven't been playing that well. And if I look at my season stats, and it shows some wacky things on here, so you might want to even just completely disregard that. The first 10,000 fans at Sunday's match versus New England will receive a free 76 gas card. There's an amount put on a gas card for you, so you can have that and do it. Again, this game's at 12:30 p.m. Let's see. The Revolution had their winless streak extended to 5 games with a 4th draw in that time. Orlando City hitting for a late equalizer to leave the teams in a 2-2 draw Saturday evening at Gillette Stadium. So 5 games without a win for the New England Revolution. So a lot of draws for them. They have to travel all the way across the country. They have to play a little bit earlier in the afternoon. That's what I always worry about early afternoon games, is the LA Galaxy getting up for it. It's going to be easy for New England to adjust to it on a New England schedule and 3 hours ahead, and it's probably easier for them to do that. Will the LA Galaxy be ready for the 12:30 p.m. kickoff time? And that's sort of, you know, the big thing. Hilario Grajeda is the official for this game. So something that you'll want to keep an eye on, as we always watch the officials. Shuttleworth in goal is somebody to watch, obviously. Watson, Farrell, Goncalves, and Smith on the back line. Kofi Caldwell, you have Kellen Rowe, you have Lee Wynn, who obviously in the center of midfield is really their playmaker. Diego Fagundes is their absolute big target guy, or not a big target, he's not that big, but he's the guy a lot of the offense rolls through between. He and Fagundes and Wynn really are the guys who you want to look at. Be interesting to see what sort of lineup LA Galaxy trot out as well. Like we said, Robbie Keane coming back. You know, whether or not that means anything, whether or not he starts, whether or not he plays any minutes, how that's going to affect everything else, all left or all remains to be seen. But the LA Galaxy and New England Revolution playing at 12:30 p.m. on Sunday. It should be an interesting game. 12:30 games usually are, and that means that you get to go spend the rest of the evening with your mom in case you have to do that, or you want to do that. Moms are great. I'll be spending the evening with my mother on Mother's Day. I hope you do as well. I'm trying to think if there's anything else to get through. Subscribe on iTunes. Write us a review on iTunes. Go on there. That really helps us out if you can do that. Helps us rank. Tell your friends about us. That's the biggest thing we ask for right now. We're trying to grow our numbers. You can help us do that. Just tell your friends, hey, you love the LA Galaxy. You should listen to Corner of the Galaxy. You should listen to Josh and Jared and Wendy and Corey and LA Galaxy Insider Adam Serrano and all the wonderful, amazing shows that they do. And you can add or subtract the wonderful, amazing. Although I personally think you should leave them in there. All right. So I think that's going to about do it for me tonight. I know it was another show where I was by myself. If you caught the live show, I apologize twice now for you having to deal with just me. All right. Just me isn't as much fun, I don't think. If you're looking for me on Twitter, it's at Jay Guessman, JGUESMAN. At Galaxy Podcast on Twitter for our Twitter account. YouTube, Corner of the Galaxy. Subscribe to our channel there. You can see all of the shows. You can see from inside the studio. All that fun stuff. Should be a lot of fun. I enjoy you too. I employ you to watch the live stream on occasion and join the show and talk to us here. All right? That's it. LA Galaxy versus New England on Sunday. Big game, 12:30 p.m. ESPN. We've said enough already. For everybody here at Corner of the Galaxy, I'm Josh Guessman. You've been listening to Corner of the Galaxy on cornerofthegalaxy.com. Catch you on Monday.
You've been listening to the Corner of the Galaxy podcast on cornerofthegalaxy.com. You can follow the show on Twitter and Instagram at Galaxy Podcast. And be sure to check out and subscribe to iTunes, Stitcher, and Facebook by searching for Corner of the Galaxy. And for all of your independent LA Galaxy news, discussion, and entertainment, including this podcast, head on over to cornerofthegalaxy.com. Fans, thanks for listening. We ask that you be kind and courteous to your neighbors as you leave the podcast. We thank you for joining us and look forward to seeing you again. Until then, I'm Michael Araujo, and on behalf of the entire Corner of the Galaxy crew, goodbye, everybody.